Hallelujah. Thank you, Lady Mrs. Zoom. Thanks so much for having me on again, Kevin and One House and Karika. Really, yeah, love and value you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the time preparing for this meeting, I was very aware and have been very aware of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And kept overshadowing and expanding over me, just bringing in the government of the Father just to rest over the meeting. And I share this now just so very aware of that holy awe and the delight and yet the weight of his goodness just lingering kind of overhead, brooding. So yeah, overhead, which is his government over our heads, over our head of government. It's him. He's over his government, his throne. It's over everything, over our mindsets, over our nations, over our heads of nations. So Father, we welcome you and we honor you, Lord. We honor your holy government. And we say your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. For you are greater than all the gods and you reign eternally from everlasting to everlasting. We acknowledge you and honor you, great and everlasting Father, on this holy evening of Yom Kippur. Your blood was shed for us, your precious, precious blood. And we are eternally grateful, Lord. We thank you for hiding us under the shadow of your wing. Even now, Lord, throughout this meeting, as we just enter into those depths of you, Lord, into the secret place, Father, together to enjoy you, Lord, to enjoy sweet communion in you, Lord, with you, with each other, Father. And we ask that the light of your pure spirit would bring such vision and revelation to enlighten every shady place, Lord, to illuminate our hearts and our minds, to realign with all of your perfect will, Lord, to align with your purposes. For you are our God and our King. You are everything. May you be magnified in all the earth. May your precious name, Yahovah, be glorified among the nations. And may this be a set apart time, a time of returning and of repenting, of being made new in your holy and awesome presence. For we do not want to slip into presumption, Lord. We want to be found patiently in you, waiting on your word and persevering in all diligence, Lord, shaking off all of the things that would entrap or distract or discourage, that we may wholeheartedly pursue you, Lord, in all things. Your kingdom has no end, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. We wait on you, Father. So the secret place is a dimension that we access in Yeshua. It's a place that is for us as believers and sons to enter into and to abide in. But it's also something that we carry with us. It's not just a concept, it's a set apart place. It's a holy of holies, if you like, both within and without. It's the depths of our heart where he is given unlimited access. It's a holy habitation. It's a place of covenant union. It's a place of oneness. And there's such preciousness about this that I still feel that holy awe just in mentioning it. I mean, how terrible for it to become just a flippant thing that we just say, you know. It really isn't. It isn't a flippant thing because, you know, we don't just rock up to the secret place in our stretchy pants and our slippers, you know. It's holy ground and it requires preparation. Of course, you know, we can come to him in all of our junk at any time. And in the most filthiest of moments, we can come to him and by faith and know that he meets with us to cleanse us. You know, that is the beauty of what he's done in making a way for us to have that restored relationship with him. But for the secret place, the preparation is the cleansing. Like, we come to him for the cleansing, for the preparation and the renewing of our minds and of our character and of our nature. Just as the bride is being prepared for the bridegroom, so we are being refined. We're being prepared, we're being purified for the Holy of Holies, of the secret place in him that he places within us. So it's a place of reverence. It's a place of wonder and joy and of beauty. It's not a place of rebellion. It's a place to be respected and deeply treasured, a place of awe and of intimacy. And you'll see why in just a moment. Just as Jabez prayed, Lord, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory, I pray that for each and every person on this meeting, that the territory within you would be increased, would be enlarged, the territory within you that hosts his holy habitation would be enlarged even tonight, for his fullness, for the fullness of the blessings of himself to be found in you, because his reward is with him. So enlarge us, O Lord, enlarge our hearts and our capacity just for knowing and experiencing you, Lord. We want to be potent in our passion for going deeper into him, against the grain of public opinion or earthly allurements, but to just know the Father and to know his ways, that we would, through our character refinings and through that purging, be able to walk freely and willingly at the first whisper, at the first inclination of the Spirit, that we would be walking in such alignment and obedience with his perfect will. So I was starting to go into some places, because the places were opening up. So if you're feeling different places enlarging in your heart and in the way you're experiencing him tonight, like, linger in that place and just allow the Spirit just to minister to you, because he's a pure Spirit and he's holy, and he's wanting to make those inner workings and inner transformations tonight in us. So God's plan from the beginning is love and covenant love. Yahweh has been seeking relationship and an expression of his unending love. You know, it's who he is. Love that is just a concept is not love. It needs an expression. Love needs a focus. And, you know, God made all that we see around us as a stage and as a landscape for displaying this love. He made man in his image to express that focus of his love. He made Adam and Eve to replicate and to multiply this expression of himself, which is love, that ultimately mankind would become his expression on the earth. And now, of course, we know what happened with the fall, and the deceiver tempted Eve. But the Father had a plan in place. He already had the perfect lamb slain. He had the lamb prepared and slain before creation, before the very beginning. And then Yeshua was pierced as the mystical door to usher forth the bride, his ultimate expression and celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. You see, the cross was not just some cruel Roman torture device or for murder. The cross to us is the symbol of the altar of ultimate sacrifice. The cross is a meeting point of heaven and earth. It's where the most precious blood was spilled into the very earth, and which cries out for redemption and mercy. The blood is a living testimony of life in heaven and on earth. The blood is the voice of hope for humanity. That's something we really need to just have as a forefront of our reality, that his precious blood that is speaking forth, that's a voice that speaks forth the hope for humanity, It's the voice of justice to silence evil. And we are washed in that precious blood when we come to the Lamb that was slain. And when, of course, we're washed in that blood, we're cleansed from sin. We're made whole and we're healed and we're restored. We're revived and we're made new. And this is our reality in every moment of our lives, having met with him. So what am I saying here is that the end is always seeking the beginning. You know, whilst growing in our faith and our love and maturity, we're also returning back to original design, back to that original place of wonder. Is everyone, can you hear me okay? Is the sound okay? Okay. I had to just come back in and just check in with us. So yeah, all of life is, it's inclined to move from the simple to the complex. I'm expecting a baby next month, our third. And even in the formation of the baby, it starts as this tiny little cell, you know, that little cell of that heart beating. And then gradually it moves to the complex, to a multitude of cells and this incredible organs, and the baby's all completely formed. And yet then even that baby will then go from that place of simplicity of being a baby with simple needs, basic needs, to becoming this complicated adult with vast desires and motivations and needs. You think of even a stream that meanders, a simple stream, a simple little stream would meander out to the very vastness of the ocean. The simplicity is moving and is gradually changing into the more complex. Think of a seed that breaks forth through the darkness of the soil with moisture and light, and it becomes this complex expression of a whole plant or of a crop or of a harvest. So the early church, even, it's changed so dramatically from the simplicity of where it first began. It's changed so dramatically from what it originally was that can it even see a recognition of itself in what we call church today? I believe today that the church has departed so far from that original secret place of expression and wonder, where people were too afraid to join, but yet thousands were added in a day. Really time to return back to that original wonder of the beginning, for a reformation of our hearts and the beautification of the bride. Because with the end seeking the beginning, you've got the simplicity of the secret place, which reaches into the complexity of the depths of the Father. And then it returns back into the simplicity of the secret place. The secret place is that simplicity wrapped up within the complexity. He is our beginning. He is our return. He is our source and he is our destination. He is holy. He is kavod. So let's not allow the systems of men to convolute and complicate the interior path back into the secret place. Because we do have a propensity to get caught up in our own headiness and our own knowledge. The knowledge, of course, which we know just puffs up. But with humility, let us return back to the simplicity, to the sweetness of the secret place with him. You know, I don't know about you, but when I look back and I reflect when I first was born again, you know, my dad led me to the Lord.
This is really...
Yeah, my dad led me to the Lord on his deathbed, and his face literally shone with a light because Jesus walked in the room. His face was lit up, and he reached out to Jesus as he walked in, and my dad laid hands on me and passed on his mantle, and the Holy Spirit came like a water bomb on my heart, and I just broke wide open, like. I wept with that absolute conviction of his goodness and A tidal wave of God's love just rushed into the room. I was lit with such a fervency to pursue God's will for my life after that. But of course, it didn't take long for the religiosities and legalism to creep in. It was a few years later, after struggling in my flesh, that I heard the pure message of grace through a father, actually, in the faith, Rob Rufus, who many of you know, I'm sure. And I met again with the person of grace, with Yeshua, who set me free from condemnation and shame and fears, so that I could boldly come before his throne of grace and obtain mercy in my time of need. So a lot of people have said, like, how did it all start with you being able to access those realms or to go into those secret, the secret place of God's heart, and to walk in the heavenly and on in the earthly? That's pretty much how it really begun. Radically, transformation was being set free from condemnation and shame, and really coming into that awareness of the pure gospel of what the Lord has done. So yeah, so do you know the Lord? He came into the very crevices of my soul with his lampstand, and he began to light up every single area, and he baptized me afresh in his love and his tender mercies. And through that, I was launched into a new life and a state of being entirely. You see, the supernatural dimension of living in heaven and on earth, it became very real to me, and it has become my daily reality. For we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know. When I say we, I don't mean I'm a little temple, you're a little temple, there's a little temple. I mean, we're all living stones built into his living temple. One temple. As he takes up residence in our hearts and in our minds, our speech, our lives, our families, his kingdom, his desires and expression is displayed here in and through us. His love, his purpose, his design, his blueprint, basically, for humanity is brought into view through us corporately. This is why it's so important for us to be a governing ecclesia right now in our day, in these times. It's for that blueprint for humanity to be, for his kingdom to be revealed through us. Now I want to move more into the actual, the place. And I'm going to share a little excerpt from a book that I wrote a couple of years ago called Demystifying the Mystical. It's a book. It holds in it an abundance of keys for going deeper into him. I don't have any copies in print at the moment, but I do have some as PDF on the website at over at cabinacademy.com. So I've been told by quite a few people that have read it, that it carries a real anointing for just gliding into deeper places in him. So if you're interested, I recommend you download a copy of that and have it on your phone. And, you know, it's very short. You can probably read it in an evening, you know. But for now, I'm just going to read you a very small portion, because it refers to the place. And it also includes something about Shabbat, or the Sabbath, as the Lord actually gave us Shabbat to help teach us about the place, the secret place. Would you believe it? So here it is. Jesus was absolutely secure in the true reality he was living from. And it was out of this place that he released life, because Yeshua is Lord of the Sabbath. But what does that even mean? So Shabbat means to rest or to desist. On the seventh day of creation, Yahweh rested, and no, it was not on a Sunday. There are some deep and beautiful mysteries to the Sabbath, which I will begin to explain. So it's because in Genesis 28, Jacob is running for his life. He's fleeing from his brother Esau. He came to rest at the place. This is where his grandfather, Abraham, was first shown the mountain where he would go to offer Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. This place was called Hum. Now, this is a euphemism for the divine presence. Hamakum, the place. Now, Jacob is there and the sun has gone down. So using a stone for a pillow, he falls asleep at this place. Wow, and what a dream he had. Jacob meets with God and sees angels ascending and descending. He sees God standing at the top of the stairs and who covenants with him about receiving the very land that he was lying on. Jacob was very much at rest and he received this incredible promise from God. Okay, I'm just going to read quickly from Genesis 28, verse 16 to 17. When Jacob woke up, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was unaware of it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So on Shabbat or on the Sabbath, we cease from our work and we come to a place of rest, physically and mentally, from whatever challenges or worries have been chasing us from the week. We enter into a sacred window of set apart time with God. And I go on to share a little bit about why, you know, me and my husband and the children, we try and keep the Sabbath, Shabbat, you know, not for legalistic reasons, like no more legal. No
things that are in the box.
You wouldn't.
That's what the box means.
Sorry? Oh, sorry, I was just hearing some chatter then. so we're not kind of keeping the Shabbat as this like legalistic requirement, like, oh, it's Friday night. It's actually such a delight and such a wonderful thing that we so enjoy. We keep the Sabbath because of just of the joy of him in it, because it creates another set apart time that we can just enjoy him together as a family. And I know much of the modern day church is, you know, is unfortunately missing out on this because they kind of connect it with something more religious. But honestly, I look forward to it each week and I drag it out for as long as possible. years ago, the Lord spoke to my husband, Jordan, in a powerful encounter from Isaiah 58. And this says, if you turn your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure or speaking idle words, then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the land and feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Whew. So I read that as a promise, like the Lord saying, if you, you're doing this, you get all this good stuff, you know. So in addition to the joy of celebrating Sabbath, there's also a sweet promise that, you know, many have missed. And that's the promise of riding the heights or the high places. So Jordan actually explains it. I'm going to quote him here. He's given me permission to quote him on this. So Hamakom, the place, is a portion of eternity that can be experienced through the Sabbath mystery. That is a place in God where we can dwell with him. You can liken it to a bridal chamber that is prepared for the bride to meet with the bridegroom. Ooh. So when we light the candles on a Friday night as a family, and Jordan blesses the wine, and it's so funny, Benaiah and Dasa, they always hold up their little water bottles as well. They love that. It's like their favorite part is singing the song to bless the wine, because it's a real lovely like little sing song. And they always try and blow the candles out too, so we emphasize, no, we don't blow the candles out now, but I light separate ones for them to blow out. So so yeah, it's a fun affair. We have a dinner, and then we just have a sweet time as a family. So yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not a religious requirement. It's a joy, and it just enhances this beautiful relationship, you know, with the Lord, and, you know, us all as a family, really. As Yeshua said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, right? So, so yeah. And also Yeshua is the place, like the place, sorry, I missed out a little bit from the book here. So the place Hamakom is where Jacob and Abraham met with the divine presence. And the divine presence, of course, has now come in the flesh in Yeshua. He tabernacles our lives, and it's as his bride, we are now tabernacled by him. And we're prepared for his return when he comes as a bridegroom for his bride. So he enables us to live in that sweet rest of his presence day in and day out. So the Sabbath gives us a little window into how we can live with him always. And Yeshua is the place because he and the Father are one. He is the resurrection and the life. And it was out of this place that Yeshua calmed the storm. You know, he's the Prince of Peace. And until we find that our security in Yeshua, in this place, we're going to struggle to operate in authority over death, over the powers of darkness, or even just the weather. So, yeah, I wanted to just dip into that little aspect and perspective on the place that I'm not sure you're aware of, but it's definitely a place, the place of encounter with the Lord is so very dear and so precious. It's actually become such a big part of our lives and how we even communicate. Like we've been writing and recording songs for a few years, and we've actually just been working on a single ready to be released that is singing about the place. And the song is called Top of the Mountain, or if you're Irish, Mountain. But yeah, actually on this song we were sharing about these encounters. As we're sharing these testimonies, you're opening up windows and doors for other people to enter in and to experience that as reality too. So yeah, there's some a song we're sharing, the chorus kind of goes a little bit like this. I didn't know if I was gonna have the the guts to sing it, but the chorus goes a bit like this. The place where land meets the sky, you meet me there on the apple of your eye. Oh, find me in the inner place. Hold my hand, let me see your face. So that's a little bit of the chorus. And yeah, but it's a small portion, but these encounters with him, they get expressed, like what we're walking in our own personal time with him in those sacred pathways. It begins to form within us, and then it's expressed through us. Like for my husband and I, it's through music or through writing or through speaking and you know, sharing it with believers, but and unbelievers too. But how that's expressed through each of you guys is unique and different too. Like I know some incredible artists, and as they paint, it's like they open up these dimensions. And then if that painting is on the wall of a hospital, it's like boom, there's a doorway to heaven right there. We're in a coffee shop. We've got a friend that paints these incredible murals, and he's been given real favor in the city. He's just actually moved cities, but yeah, he was doing some incredible murals in his city and had favor with literally just releasing the presence of God through art. And it's just really, I just find so exciting. So we've spoken about the place. Now I want to share something about when I was asking the Lord about secrets. So you see, the enemy tries to hide and conceal things in a secretive way that is, you know, the dark, corrupt copy. It's like we don't even need to pay any attention to that. But the Father, oh, well, we know that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. So that's from Deuteronomy 29. And I began to ask Abba, about secrets. I said, Lord, what are these mysteries that you have hidden within you? Because, you know, under the law, the secret thing, the key to knowledge, the revealing of God's true nature, his love and of the Lamb slain before creation, the love expressed in the perfect new covenant which God cut with himself. You see, all of this is hidden from those under the law. However, in Psalm 25, verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. So he'll open that wide open and he'll show those intricacies and the beauty of the secrets of the new covenant. It's all wrapped up, you see, it's all wrapped up. We come to him in that simplicity and we ask. We come to him in faith and we then enter into the complexities of, wow, this has been stored up for us, Lord. King David, he understood grace. And he was given these glimpses to what the new covenant would look like. Isaiah 45, verse 3 says, I will give you treasures of darkness, riches, hidden wealth stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel. Jesus' answer to his disciples when they asked him why he always spoke in parables was this. In Matthew 13, 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. That's Mark 4, verse 11. And Luke 8, verse 10 says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. So you see the treasures and the riches of these things are stored up for those that are in the inner circle, those that are close to the Lord. So that, to me, just inspires me to be one that burrows in underneath his armpits to know the secrets and to know those deeper hidden mysteries within his heart. So Jesus then goes on to tell the parable of the sower. And of course, we know that the soil is the condition of people's hearts to receive the seed of the word. 1 Corinthians 2:7. I'm just diving and jumping through some different scriptures here as well. So now we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. The awesomeness of what is in this new covenant. Because the new covenant gives us access into those deep places. I was like, wow, Lord, what are you showing me? Wow, you know, this verse has been going around in my heart for weeks and weeks now. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived. Huh. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So as I sat in amazement, just pondering this and just diving into these scriptures and just marinating in it, and as I sat in amazement, it seemed like this light from him came all around me and in the room. He was there with me. Thoughts, Lord, that which is on your mind, your thoughts. Father, you actually reveal your thoughts to man by your Spirit. You know what? Thoughts are the most personal thing that you can have. And God is God, obviously. So, of course, he knows our thoughts. We know that. We know that he knows our thoughts. He knows all of the inclinations of our hearts. But for him to allow us into his thoughts, oh my goodness, this is huge. This just about blew my mind. This is a whole new level of wonder and glory of the new covenant. I mean, what's more, he planned this before time began. Before time began, in like 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. And he reminded me of what he had been showing me, because I kept asking him, Lord, what is this that I'm seeing? I was being taken into this these realms where I was seeing these, it was a bit overwhelming. Circular, multidimensional, multi-level, moving simultaneously, so many images that were all rotating around and around, not just images, but these were like expressions of life, reality, heaven, mysteries. It was intense. It was so intense that if I was just to focus on one aspect of it, I would be completely engulfed and absorbed into that as a reality. It was so intense. All the different outcomes, not just entering into that as a reality, but all the other outcomes that are you know, involved with that. So being taken into that, it had just, he'd shown me something and he was calling me in to find out more. He was beckoning me in to the very most personal things, his thoughts. The Lord had invited me into his thoughts. And I mean, wow, that God would even reveal that to mankind, or even to me, just a girl. So, I mean, he desires for us to be co-heirs with Christ, to be ruling and reigning with him. So, of course, he wants to let us in on his thoughts, the way how he sees things, how he maybe weighs things up in order for us to come alongside him and see how he performs his justice and mercy. Because sometimes things just seem so like, wow, Lord. But we can see then when he invites us in, like giving us the mind of Christ, we can step into that place of understanding how to pray and why the Spirit would lead us to decree a certain thing over a nation or over our family or whatever. Wow. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's such a beautiful mystery. It's such a beautiful mystery for us to be taken into the secret place of the Lord. And then for God to be revealed back through us, these earthen vessels. We go into him, into his thoughts, into his thinking, so that we can then reveal and demonstrate that through our clay bodies, through this clay bodies. I mean, it's something worth lingering on. It's such a mystery revealed in our very flesh, just to grasp that, the transfiguration glory bearing witness to the everlasting life that we contain. You contain everlasting life through our hope and our faith in Yeshua and the power of his blood. You know, we can be shiny vessels. We can be lit up ones, luminous clay. Woo! Sorry, that's the talky cat. My cat's already just scratching at the door. Now I'm going to transition into some of the ways that the Lord will meet us in a secret place. And don't worry, I'm not going to go all Greek on you with five steps to the secret place or anything, or seven keys to living in the secret place. So Yeshua is Hebrew, and Hebrews see it all as one, and it's all connected. So the mountaintop encounter, where we take our shoes off and for this is holy ground, to the holy of holies of our heart, to that set apart place of consecration, he knows us better than we know ourselves. Did you know that? He really does. He knows us. He knows every. He has rooms in the interior mansion of your heart that you know not of. Ask him. He will show you. So I began this chat with talking about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this is something that is a really big, big indicator for me when the Lord is getting my attention. Just to turn aside and to pause. If I'm in the middle of an activity, sometimes I experience it as this immense liquid honey of God's presence that just pours down so thick, it immobilizes me. It's one of those pause, you know, you pause and you wait, cease from what you're doing, kind of exceedingly pleasing, sort of poking the ribs from heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? We delight in the fear of the Lord. Next usually follows tears and just at his goodness and the enormity of his goodness, his love, his mercy, his meeting with me in the midst of washing dishes or digging potatoes or making the dinner. Or sometimes this happens when I hear Dasa, my daughter, calling out, "Mummy, where did you go? Mummy, where are you? Where did you go? I thought I lost you." And I tell her, "I was just seeing Jesus for a little while." Jordan actually made up this jokey song that he sings. And when that happens, even if I'm just a bit distracted in heaven or in that place, he sings, "Where did you go? Where did you go, Millie girl? Where did you go? Where did you go?" So we won't be releasing that as a single, though, don't worry. But what I'm saying is that sometimes the Lord visits us and it's on his terms, you know, and they're precious and they're ordained times. And when that happens, just yield, cease from what you're doing. Wait on him. Don't miss it. Don't miss those precious times when you feel that weight of his presence, of that holy awe, of the fear of the Lord getting your attention and just overshadowing you. Let him lead. Don't suddenly bombard him with loads of questions. Just be patient and just wait on him and be open to be led by him into whatever he's showing you. Settle in. I like that kind of phrasing. Just settle into it. Another thing I wanted to mention was just maybe some of you have experienced this. It's the ache of the secret place. And again, this brings me to tears at times. It's a deep ache and a yearning. It's sometimes I think it's known as the gift of longing as well. It's a longing that goes beyond my human ability to ache. It's like feeling his spirit aching and longing for that deep union. The mystics would call it love sickness. Sometimes it's more of an ache of his desires to be in that sweet place of intimacy. And sometimes I believe it's just the echo of our own sense of humanity aching to be fully aware or fully conscious of that reconciled reality with Yeshua, because it's already been provided. It's already there, so close, that reality that Yeshua has provided within himself to reconcile us with the Father. So I told you I was going to go deep. So let's go deeper. Always be open to go deeper, to go into those depths, to the deep calls unto deep and the roar of his waterfalls. Don't even stop there, go deeper. I remember a time in I was living in Hong Kong, and the Lord was doing some quite unusual and crazy intense things at times. And I was in a meeting and I cried out for the depths of him. I could feel the spirit on me very powerfully. And that ache, that longing just overtook me. And I was crying out and sobbing from my belly during this time of worship. The depths of me for the depths of you. The depths of me for the depths of you. And I didn't even fully correlate what I was asking for. But he met with me. That's all I can say. He met with me. And I literally got lifted up off the ground in this ball of white light, literally hit me in this meeting, and I was saturated. I couldn't speak for the next hour or so. I could barely even string a sentence together for the rest of the day, actually. And I would weep every time I even considered how much he loved mankind. I would just weep at his goodness. And I'd be ruined all over again at these breakers of his love. His love for me, his love for humanity, my love for him because of his love for me and all of humanity and tiny ants. And oh my goodness, it was so intense. But how could I possibly think that I could handle the depths of God? I mean, oh dear. There's also a sweet door of access to the secret place that we can sneak into and abide in. And just from the hustle and the bustle of life, because his presence, which we experience through Holy Spirit and the Word of God, is essentially the engine room of our whole spiritual life. So the secret place is a place of refuge. It's a place of peace. So when you've got a lot going on, when you've got the hustle and the bustle, the challenges, the like about 30 minutes before the meeting, I had screaming children in here and messy diapers and trying to get bath time sorted. And so the secret place then to me was a place of refuge where I was just trying to encompass all of the craziness that was going on. I'm sure mums out there can relate, and many dads too. So the secret place is definitely a refuge and a place that we can abide in amidst all the hustle and the bustle, the craziness of maybe work days, business meetings, hectic commutes to work or building sites, who knows. And it's a place of refuge because the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are saved. You see, he is the place to flee to in moments of temptation or tragedy or pain or agony or disappointment or even frustrations. You know, it's always, always within reach. The more you go there into him, the more you spend time there, the closer it becomes. Yeshua in himself, he becomes that pathway. He is the pathway into himself, into that secret place. And the more you are accustomed to going to him rather than reaching for a glass of wine or reaching for the chocolate or whatever else, the more he can be your default setting. You're going to see victory and you're going to overcome and you're going to go to strength, to strength, to strength in your spiritual walk. So the more time we spend there, and the more we default to him, then the closer it becomes, the easier it is to access, the more within reach. He's right here. We just need to turn to that. We don't even need to turn or to think or consider something that's going to lead us off track down a crooked path. So the Lord is our refuge. And this is a major, major tool for overcoming, particularly threshold testing or challenges. And if that's kind of an unfamiliar term or phrase about threshold and being tested at a threshold, and you are interested in looking more into that, then I recommend a dear friend of mine, Anne Hamilton. Please do look her up on Facebook, because she has the wealth of knowledge and wisdom and humility as well. She's very wonderful and authentic lady, woman of God. So yeah, do look her up on Facebook. She shares so much wisdom on there, and she does these brilliant 5-minute podcasts called Grace Drops with Anne. And it sounds so delicate and gentle, like her Grace Drops with Anne, but actually it should be called Revy Bombs. Revy Bombs with Anne, because there's truths on there that will just blow your mind. to, and they're only like 5 minute long, 5 minutes long, but enough just to be like, wow, my goodness. Okay, Lord, we need to go and talk about this. So and she's written the most incredible books as well about threshold guardians and about turning to the Lord rather than false refuges. So there is a number of books that I could just check out her. Yeah, check out her Facebook page, or you can look up her name as an author on the book depository as well. She's a really incredible woman of God. So, okay. So the wonderful thing about the secret place is that it goes everywhere you go. And I remember recently just that stalking of heaven as I was driving to Aldi, would you believe it? There's a lot of glory at Aldi. It's like the only place where you can consider if you're going to put strawberries or a power drill in your trolley. It's like strawberries, power drill. I'd usually choose strawberries, to be honest. So this was quite an incredible journey to Aldi, and I was already feeling that looming presence of the spirit of the fear of the Lord over me as I was driving there, and I began to pray in tongues and just wait on the Lord. And I was going deeper and deeper into these like waves of shalom. Okay, Lord, you're calling me into to govern in your shalom whilst I go and do the grocery shop. And I did my shopping without any dramas, and it was, I had Benny with me, my son, and he has a tendency to kick off in the supermarket right when you get to the checkout counter. And I'd managed to get around the whole of Aldi and this government of shalom of like swirling over us. It was great. And as I got to the checkout, then Benny started to cry and grizzle, and he wanted to open a box of ice creams that we had in the trolley. So I made a deal with him that he could have one after we go through the checkout if he doesn't cry anymore. And he was fine with that. Two-year-olds are very good at negotiating, I must say. So when it was my turn to come up to the load my groceries onto the belt, the cashier greeted me, and I just smiled and asked how she was doing. And something was transferred to that government of shalom that she became very aware of. And I could feel the favor of God just opening up a conversation with her. And she began to yawn, and she like looked at me, and she just began to tell me that she felt so, so tired. And it was due to some medication that she was on that was affecting her quite, not in a positive way, you know. And I said, I'm so sorry. And then she began to open up about her life. And I realized that this was the Holy Spirit just opening up that secret place of encounter to her. She told me that she'd been on medication since she was a child, and that when she was a child, she would just sit and drool because it would knock her out to that extent, and that she had a neurological condition, and that she would have to be on this medication for the rest of her life. She wasn't being self-pitying or anything. She was just very practically just relating what her struggles were. And I just felt the Lord's heart just contract within me in compassion, because she reminded me of the woman with the issue of blood. And I asked her if she'd ever had any prayer for her condition. And she looked at me surprised and said, well, not really, although she said, my parents took me to the temple as a child, and the priest made offerings to the gods. And anyway, I won't repeat the names because they're of no importance. But I was like, right, okay. Because, I said, I believe in the power of prayer, and I've seen many people healed. You see, I pray to a God whose name is healing, and he is Yahweh, and he is the creator, and he made you. And who better to heal you than the very one who made you, who knows you better than you know yourself. And he wants to see you well. And her eyes went from being like this droopy kind of comatose state to just suddenly just being bright like that. By speaking and testifying of him and his goodness and his desire to heal her, it's like it just peeled back the veil and she was able to see. And I saw that sparkle and glimmer of faith and hope begin to, you know, fill her being. And she said, yes, and I could see that hope activated. And she began to open up further. And we had a really amazing conversation. And I was able to, you know, just to encourage her how to pray. And just to pray that God would just release his deliverance and his healing grace over her. She shared that she was hearing voices, and when she was struggling, she would hear voices. So I was encouraging her to call on his name, and it makes those other voices just be silent. So this was all happening at the checkout. I was scanning the strawberries and stuff. So it was a very precious moment. But what I'm saying about the secret place is that goes with you, and the depths that you are habitating in him, you can take with you, and you can be bringing to Aldi or to wherever it is that the Lord is wanting to reveal that expression. He is wonderful. Now, what I just want to finish on is that I'm sure some of you are wondering, like, what are some of the things that would hinder or prevent me from living in that secret place, or of living in the depths of his heart, or in those reality of his mysteries? And something I want to assure you of is that he desires more than you to habitate there. He wants you to live and abide in that place. He wants to meet with you. He's desiring it even more than you. And so the times when we feel that maybe we've got a bit dry, or we're thinking, what is that block? Lord, I'm not experiencing you how I was before. Or you're not sneaking up on me as often as you did before. What's going on? And it's good to ask the Lord that. It's good to search our hearts and to go back and say, yeah, there was a time when this was happening really frequently, but now I've just seemed to have got kind of distracted, and you know, that fire's maybe not burning as bright as it was before. So return back to him. It's never too late to return back to him and to ask him. The very aspect of repenting is to turn back, to turn away from other things. And a couple of things that really stuck out to me was idolatry. If there's something that has taken up preeminence in your heart over him and over over that preciousness, over the value that you once held in encountering him, if there's something else that has maybe taken your attention, maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's a new job, or you know, sometimes with me it can just be the children just getting so distracted, caught up with endless cycles of laundry. Sometimes you can just get so distracted in the mundane, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute, I need to return, I need to come back. And he's there ready to meet you. Sometimes it can be like, deal with the idols, definitely deal with the idols, deal with anything that you're holding or that you're turning to before turning to him. Deal with those jolly things, cast them down, burn them, get rid of them. Anything that is a hook or would be that stumbling block for you, lift that up to the Father. Another thing is a hardness of heart. You know, I shared a blog yesterday, actually, and a scripture of Hebrews 3. It was a word that I released to some of the older generation. But the scripture from Hebrews 3 says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in the rebellion of the desert at Meribah. For who were they who heard and yet provoked him with rebellious acts? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And so it goes on to say, verse 12, take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be in any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord. A heart that turns away from the living God. But continually encourage one another every day. So this is our role, is to encourage each other every day as long as it's called today, as long as there's that opportunity to, so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. For we believers have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us, if only we hold firm our newborn confidence, which originally led us to him. See that simplicity of the newborn confidence leading us to him, the ultimate complexity, until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as when they provoked me in the rebellion in the desert at Meribah. So repent of any areas of hardness of heart. Maybe the Lord has highlighted things or has put his finger on a few things, and you've not wanted to hear it, or you've kind of chosen to go your own way because it's more pleasing or more seductive or more enticing or perhaps more sophisticated than something that he's leading or calling you to. So yeah, I'm going to start to, Lord, is there anything else that I need to, I'm going to finish up just by praying again. And yeah, this evening is Yom Kippur. It's like an ideal time to lift up any of those places, any of those things that perhaps have been hindering your walk with him. Or and also, if you sense or if you discern that with other brothers or sisters that you're walking with, that maybe their fire started to go out, or maybe they're seeming like they're leaning or wavering into passivity or just getting a little off track, be that shepherd, be a shepherd to them, draw them back in, and yeah, be a good steward of the people that God's put in your path, to encourage them daily, to encourage your friends, to encourage your family, encourage them while it's still today, because there's so much that we can give God thanks for. There's so much that we can testify of his goodness each and every day. So Father, I thank you. I thank you for every single person that's been on this call, Lord. I thank you, Father, for One House, for hosting this meeting, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to share some of these things from your heart. I'm so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done in my life, Father, and what you're doing and in all these precious ones as well, Lord. Father, we just celebrate you on this holy evening, Father. We return back to you, Father. We leave behind, we cast off anything that would entangle or ensnare us, Lord, that would slow us down on the journey, Father. Even if there's anybody that we're holding animosity towards, Lord, if there's any place of unforgiveness, Lord, any place of offense, Lord, with our brothers or sisters, even family members or friends, from people from the past, Lord, Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you just begin to bring that to the surface right now, Lord. We don't want to carry that junk with us, Lord. We don't want to be contaminated or corrupted by anything that has the enemy's fingerprint on it, Lord. We cast those things aside, Lord God, and we thank you for the cleansing precious blood of the Lamb, Lord. You would cleanse us right now, Father, as we stand under the abundance of your flow from heaven. We thank you for that newness of life. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your life and your goodness, your plans, your purposes being outworked in our lives. And we honor you, King Jesus. We honor you, Yahweh. Thank you for this precious time, Lord. And just speak your blessings over every single person listening. In the name of Yeshua, amen.